So, guys, you know that Pastor Tim... Oh, yes. Does anyone need Bibles? Thanks, Tim. Raise your hand, and Brother Tim will give you a Bible. So, we know that Pastor Tim's on a vacation, so we're going to set aside the second book of Corinthians, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke is what's part of what's called the Synoptic Gospels. That's a fancy word for just saying similar stories. In essence, all three Gospels are similar in their stories. I chose Matthew to take a look at the parable of the sower because it's longer. It gives you a little bit more detail. Each one is different, but the same stories are there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not part of the same type story Gospel. You guys there? It's Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I know you're there, Jan. I can tell you're ready. All right. I still hear pages turning. I will wait. B, are you just taking out your Bible right now? I love you, B. But don't worry, we'll have a lot of time to go through these, even if I start right now. We'll go through them again. Okay, so I'll give a little background. This before Jesus was speaking to the people, speaking to the Jews, preaching on the Sabbath day, and they were getting on him for healing people on the Sabbath. His disciples eating some grain, so he moved from that place to the other. He went into a house, and now he's about to leave that house and teach to the people about the parable of the sower, or these are the kingdom parables after this. So we pick it up in chapter 13, verse 1. He says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And I'm going to stop there. Have you ever wondered, when you read the Bible, you're like, he's talking to thousands, he's on a boat, and they can all actually hear him from a boat? Well, they can, because if you go online, Google sound and all that stuff, you'll see that when you're standing on a seashore, sound travels towards us. If you ever hear an ocean wave, it's pretty loud. So the sound is coming across the water, going in towards the people, and that was actually pretty common for people. If they're at the seashore, they would stand there on a boat, low back, and they would listen to the people. So go and try it sometimes when there's no other background noises, obviously, like speedboats or stuff like that going past. And they did hear him when he was saying that. So going on to verse 3, it says, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony paths, places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus begins by telling this parable of the sowers, and he ends it by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In essence, what Jesus is saying towards the end here is, if you're willing to understand, and if you're open enough, continue listening and seeking if you want. If you want to learn truth. So in verse 10, we continue. And it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered the disciples and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So the Lord Jesus, the disciples ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? He tells them that it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But yet he gives them the mysteries and by saying, whoever has more will be given. Whoever has less, that will be taken from them. So what is he saying in this mystery? And the last sentence here, when you say taken away from him, when you look at it in the Greek and the original, the context in there means whatever is committed to you, whatever was entrusted to you will be taken away from you and given to another. So he's saying that. But what does he mean? So go to Acts chapter 13 and hold your place. Go to Acts chapter 13, verse 45. And we're going to hopefully understand a little bit about this other thing that Jesus is saying, whoever has. What is it that we have, or the people, the Jewish people, had back then that may be taken away from them or added to them? Acts chapter 13, we're going to begin at verse 45. And here it would be Paul and Barnabas speaking about Christ. Acts chapter 13, verse 45. All right. So 45, it says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, and here comes the key, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, there's one key, you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, there's a second one, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Here Paul is quoting Isaiah 42. So you see what's going on right here. They count themselves, they reject it, and they deem themselves or unworthy, or they're having closed minds. And he's saying, we're going to take the word of truth and take it to the Gentiles because you don't want to understand. So because their hearts were closed or they were too legalistic to a certain degree, Jesus says, that's why I speak to them in parables. Therefore, because of these things, he goes on, go back to Matthew now. Because they believe they're unworthy and they reject the word. Jesus goes on to say, verse 13, therefore, because of those things, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah, now Jesus is also quoting Isaiah, is fulfilled, in which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I could heal them. Here Jesus is also quoting Isaiah 6. Now when you understand what he's saying here, he's saying that the hearts of the people have grown dull. They're not willing to hear or understand what is truth. And of course the heart isn't here, it's the mind. They've closed their mind to a certain degree. A lot of this has to do with the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time. Understanding that they came from a lot of ups and downs, following God, going back to God, and they became extremely legalistic. Jesus says in the Gospel of John chapter 5, he says, you study the scriptures because you believe in them you have eternal life. But you can't understand that they speak about me. Therefore, they've hardened their hearts and they're so dull because they're stuck in religion. Now understand that these people, also the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus also says that your traditions have nullified the commandments of the Lord. And he says that. He says that to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Whatever you would have given to your parents, you say it's Korba, It's not for them. It's devoted for the God. You've nullified it. So it had a lot to do with the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus also said that when you find a convert, you make him twice as a son of hell than yourselves. Now the people were hard of hearing, dull, and they didn't understand. That's why Jesus said, this prophecy is fulfilled and I will speak to them in parables. Because they're not going to understand what I'm saying. They're not going to want to receive it anyway. And that's normal. You know, a lot of people do that. Think about the people who are following Jesus. You're going to have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. That's just craziness. So it's normal for us to do something like that. But listen what he says now as he's going back to his disciples. He explained that now in verse 16. Look at what he says. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Let's stop right there for a good amount of time and understand something right now. On a Sunday morning in the year of 2019, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, right now is speaking to you. He is telling you that you are blessed, that to you has been given the knowledge to understand the kingdom of God. Do you understand right now that this is Jesus speaking? It's not me. Right now, 2019, he is telling you, you are blessed. And that deserves an amen. That's a blessed thing. We can look through scriptures like we were talking about on Wednesday and go through it and not even realize that Jesus is saying, blessed are all of you here. I am blessed. We get to look at the Word and Jesus is speaking to us because the Word is living. That is amazing. And that needs to stick in our heads for a while. We are blessed. Amen. Praise God. If we get anything, nothing else in this world, this is what we got, the Bible. Man, that's amazing when you take the time to think about that. That Jesus, the living Word, is speaking to us 2,000 years later in His Word. And it doesn't end there. He says, you're so blessed that even prophets desire to see this. Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah desire to see and hear these things, and they didn't, and you are. Righteous men, like Lot and Job, wanted to hear and see these things. They didn't see them. But you guys right now, along with me, are seeing and hearing these things. What are we seeing? We see the Word here. We see lives changed. Miracles are happening throughout the world. They truly are. But like Jesus says, when he went to his own town, he couldn't do too many miracles because of the lack of faith. It happens. So we see these things going on in our lives. We hear the secrets of the kingdom of God, the revelations of the Messiah in our time. That is amazing. God speaking to us in His Word. And we can easily pass this by and not see what a blessing. Jesus speaking to each one of you right now. Blessed are you. I am blessed. Man, when I saw this, I'm like, whoa. The Holy Spirit told me, do you know He's speaking to you right now? He's speaking to your heart right now. You take this Word and you hold it in there. And understand that this is a living Word. And our faith is not blind. We see transformations in all our lives. So praise God for this introduction right now that Jesus is talking about and saying we're blessed. Now he's going to lead us and say, now, because you are blessed, I want to talk to you about some mindsets for people who call me Christ, who want to follow me. So Jesus goes on to explain the parable to his disciples then and us, his children now. So let's open our eyes and see what Jesus is telling us. Remember, this is Christ speaking, our Lord and Savior. So he says, you're blessed. Verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone, that's anyone, whoever hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now, when you're thinking about what Jesus says in this first example, if you're looking at a sower and a wayside would be a small path similar to this in sowing. And you can Google this. He has his little bag here, and he would either do a 1, 2, 3, scattering the seed, or sometimes they would pull it behind an ox. More than likely, it's like this. Jesus is the original sower telling us that. Some fall on the wayside where there is no ground. It's just a street. That's the beginning of that. So he's talking about that, and he says, anyone who hears it and does not understand it, what happens? Satan comes and takes it away from him, right? The Bible says that the natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. This is the mindset of a person who is, let's take, agnostic. A person who says, you can't find absolute truth. You can't prove God. I don't believe. I'm sort of searching for truth. Even though they don't admit that. The path of their heart is hard. They've fallen on the path. They're not understanding that. They could be atheistic. They could have been one of us before. We could have been that person in times past. I don't get it. I don't understand that. That's foolishness to those who are perishing. What do you mean the gospel? They could hear it, and they're saying, Jesus died on the cross for me. He was born of a virgin. We're supposed to drink his blood. He ascended to heaven. He didn't die. That doesn't make sense in my logical, scientific mind. Science is what proves everything. In essence, that's what becomes my God. But you do have to have some faith in science, because a lot of science is just, forget it. They don't even follow the scientific method. I ain't going to go into that anymore. But anyway, you go back to this. The hearts of the people who don't understand. And this could have been a conversation you had with someone. They don't understand. Or maybe you were talking about Christ wherever you were and they overhear it. Now understand what's going on here. This is spiritual warfare. Satan is here snatching the seed from it. The seed because they didn't understand. Person's listening. He either uses a spirit and a mind to say this is ridiculous. Or he can bring a friend. Hey, have you ever heard about this Jesus thing? Do you think there's something to it? Jesus thing. Let me tell you what I see. A bunch of crazy people going crazy in church, lifting their voices, praising someone who died. And let me tell you another thing. They're going to steal your money, and they're going to come crazy like them, rolling around on the aisles. You want some of that? Is that what you want? That is crazy talk. You're not going to have fun. You're not going to enjoy anything. You see how many people are on TV, these pastors, taking your money? That's all they're going to do, man. Yeah, you're right. That's wicked. That's crazy stuff. Why did I even think of that? And then they go about their way, never understanding it, because Satan took the seed because they did not understand. And he uses his minions, his people, to snatch it from them. And, I mean, none of us were born Christians. I mean, the closest you can get is John the Baptist. Holy Spirit was in him. But we all had a time of disbelief. But praise God, he doesn't stop sowing. This is one mindset of a person who just can't understand this because his spirit has to be revived and he goes along his way. So now we go and we looked at this guy. The path is hard. The understanding or the analogy is because he's not ready. He has too much lack of knowledge, perhaps pride. His heart isn't open. So now Jesus goes into the second mindset or person. He goes on in verse 20 to say, but he who receives the seed on stony paths, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The second, what I call in here, wannabe followers of the way, or wannabe Christian, is the backslider. Here, Jesus says he has no root in himself. Brother Tom back there, and we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday, the 60s and the Jesus movement. It still happens now. Holy Spirit moves, people get saved, and then they're not equipped. Because this person who's a backslider is the one who is the name it and claim it, give me what I want now type personality who's led by their emotions. They believe that God is there for them so they can receive everything from him on this earth, your best life now. They don't understand the word because they don't have the root of the word in their lives. And this is this people in the stony path. And a stony path is small rocks. It's very shallow. These people's faith is shallow. It's rooted in their emotions and what they can get. We see a lot of that. We saw a lot of that back in the 60s. And people were made leaders of the church, but yet they had no root. They didn't take time to listen to the word. And what did Jude say? He said, don't make someone who's a new convert a leader because they'll fall in the same sin as Satan, pride. And that happens a lot. We see a lot of so-called leaders who destroy the body of Christ through their false teachings. And then they fall away. But this person, when tribulation comes in their lives, they pray for good things and it doesn't happen. You know, it's funny, I heard a story a while back, and it was on not Judge Judy, or one of the things. Judge Judy. So you had this couple, they came up there and they got a check from some company. And this guy was suing them because the check was not for them, it was an error. But they said, we prayed to the Lord for money. And when we prayed, it came in the mail the next day. So we believe that the Lord gave us this. And it is the Lord, and therefore we don't have to pay it back. Now, there you have an example of a shallow Christian who has no root because they don't understand the Word of God. And we have to put that in our minds. Without this, we will be led astray with every wave of doctrine, whatever people say, whatever I say. You need to be a Berean and check me out. I can say whatever I want here. And you can be deceived by it. They had no root. So they didn't get that judgment against them. What was that judge's lady, Judge Judy? She already knows because she reads everything. She's like, So the Lord told you that this money's yours. He told you this money's yours, but he never told you that it was a mistake. And it was never it wasn't owed to you. You didn't deserve this. He never told you that, huh? He never told you that it was theft? Judge Judy, she gets you. She is something. Judgment for the defendant, judgment for the plaintiff. Pay them back the money you got. Now, what is possible that happened to those people? They probably fell away. Why didn't you give me what I wanted, Lord? And I still have many of burns on my back from sliding down the hill throughout my life, backsliding. And I went through that time in my life. When I was like, I accept Jesus, yes, and I'm going to name it and claim it, and he's all going to change my life, everything's going to be great. Praise God. But nope, it didn't work out that way, so I fell away. I got angry at God. I didn't take the time to read his word. I would listen to whoever was around to tell me what I should do. Not being a Berean, not testing the word, not asking questions, but just listening. Now understand that we come up here and we talk about the word. It's up to you to go forward and continue that. It's not a one thing and that's it. And that was me. I would pray to the Lord, walk with him, and he didn't give me what I wanted. So I'm out of here, Lord. Clearly, it's not what I want. Then there's the other one, persecution. Let's say you had those tribulations in your life and you fell away because you thought God wasn't there with you. It's a lack of root, studying the word. Persecution comes up, and you are a Christian, whatever age. Maybe you're a high school Christian and you talk to your friends. Man, I'm on fire for Jesus. What are you talking about? You're a freak. You go to your job, you become a Christian, hey, praise God, and this happened to me. Became a Christian, working at Hard Rock and all that stuff. I'm a Christian. People started mocking, you know? And what happens when you mock? People mock you, and then you're like, oh, man, I don't want none of this. I can't take it. Lord, why aren't you there strengthening me? I don't know the word. What am I supposed to say? I don't know. Well, if you're shallow, how can you be prepared to give everyone an answer? If you're not in the Word, listening, taking from the Holy Spirit and rightly dividing the Word of truth. And I've been in those situations too. You know, it was a time when I was smoking, working, and I was new. Ah, praise the Lord, just learning. Going up there, oh, I'm going out for a smoke. You smoke, you're a Christian? You know where that's heading, right? So I'm like, well, if you smoke, they told me, the Lord lets you smoke, but isn't that bad for your body? Oh, man. I was like, well, I'm going to go smoke anyway. Conviction came on me. Now, is it a sin? Well, it becomes a sin when the Bible tells us that when you know to do something you should be doing, then it becomes a sin to you, James. So yes, it becomes a sin. It becomes a sin because if the Holy Spirit made it, is revealed it to you, and you're not doing it, it's a sin. It's missing the mark. And you grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, he told me that. I was like, oh, man. I can either fall away or continue in it. And I said, well, I guess I got to quit smoking. And, of course, the battle started. I quit. I started. I mean, what are you going to do? But it happens. Persecution comes. Your family, maybe the other countries, we see a lot more persecution than we do here. People's families are getting killed, heads being chopped off, whippings, seizing their properties, all that stuff. Here, our persecutions is our friends or family not wanting us anymore. You see a lot of persecutions in the cults. And you see it in Mormonism, in Jehovah's Witnesses, and whatever other cults there is out there. Why? Because religion sets in also. So persecution, this is the second person who is the backslider. And I had my fill of backsliding, and like I said, I got the scars, little burns there. So this Christian is the one who has no root because he hasn't taken the time in the Word. And that's a key here for this second person or this would-be follower of Jesus. No root. Tribulation, persecution comes, he stumbles. And if it happened to you, that's okay because look at, you're here right now. I'm here right now. It happened to me more often than not, but praise God, he continues to sow the seed. He brings his people who sow the seed of the Word of encouragement as well. And you grow. So now we get to the third person in Jesus' explanation. It said in verse 22, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulnesses of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So this is the person who just wants fire insurance. And we know that because I was part of that one as well too. I like dabbling in all types of things, but I didn't know. But hey, take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, my ear's itching for some of this. I don't like what you're saying. Going to this other church. What are you talking about? I like it. Sticking here for a while. This is the person who says, "I like what I like," the deceitfulnesses of the world. And we can all go through that. And it's very easy and subtle. Now, we can think the deceitfulnesses of the world is sex and drugs. Everyone hears that, they're like, no, I know that's wrong, I ain't doing that. Deceitfulness is the world, that everything that exalts itself before the knowledge of God is the deceitfulness of the world. Perhaps it's that movie that you want to watch instead of spending time with the Lord in his word or praying to him or helping someone out or going part of fellowship. Maybe it's the music that you're listening to that God's already told you, why don't you spend time with me? You're filling your mind in with trash. Or the people you hang out with. And God says, you don't understand. I mean, you say, I need an appointment with this person. I got to go hang out with my buddies. You're being deceived by busyness as well. I don't have time right now, Lord. I will get to you. Hold on, Jesus. I got to look at OfferUp because I think I got something going on here. Who is on Facebook right now? What's that, Lord? You want me to get my phone and read a scripture because you got some for me? What is this? eBay just sent me and, wow, I got to buy that. So easy to get distracted by the world, the cares of the world, whatever it is. Lord wants you to do this by the leading of the Spirit, but you decide to go this way. And it can be so simple. We have become, to a certain degree in America, so complacent and comfortable in our lives that we don't notice how distracted we are. We can't hear the Lord's voice because the cares of this world has crept in and caused us to believe that it's normal and natural. Look at those mega churches that are coming up, and many of people are going there. Why is that? I want my quick fix. I want a feel-good sermon. I want someone to tell me everything's okay and I'm going to go do what I got to do. And we all fall into that. Even now as believers, it's easy to get distracted. All of you right now could come up with an instance where you felt the Lord telling you, pray for me or whatever, but you decided to go the other way. Or if you did, you devoted just a little bit of time and say, okay, for Lord, I'll do that. Then the enemy comes in and all of a sudden someone's knocking or someone's ringing on the phone or something happens where your brain goes this way. My brain goes this way. I don't know how many times I'm constantly fighting. We forget that it's spiritual as well. We cast down every thought and distraction of this world that exalts itself before the Lord and the relationship with him, that he wants to be with us. Remember, Jesus told us we're blessed. But how can we be blessed if we're distracted by the cares of this world? We won't be, and we'll be missing out on everything the Lord has. And I've had too much of that in my life, and I don't want that anymore. I want to dare to believe in Christ and what he has for me. Dare that if I walk in him and not distracted, he will pour more of his spirit in me and less of me. And does it happen? You know it does. But we'll never fully understand it or see it because we're a microwave generation. Churches are filled. Big churches are filled with microwave people. That's the way it is. So we have to guard ourselves in that. We have to guard our minds. Like these people who can be so closed-minded. And you know, it's interesting that it happens to us. It happens to the deceitfulness of riches. And then it also happens to these people here. Oh, I said it right now. The deceitfulness of riches chokes what? The word. So first person is what? I like what I like. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with spending a little bit of time watching a movie or listening to music, hanging out with my friends, doing whatever I want to do, and you fill in the blanks. Well, guess what? If the Lord is telling you, spend time with me, if you know the thing you're supposed to be doing, that becomes sin to you and me. You're missing the mark, and that's what the word sin is. It's not a condemnation thing. You're missing the mark of what God wants. Understand that the Lord wants to commune with you. You're missing what the Lord has, a blessing. Blessed are you. Who's blessed? Who's blessed here? Let me hear amen like the old school. Can I hear an amen? We are blessed because Jesus told us that. Doesn't matter what we believe or feel. Jesus told us that. But if we let the cares of the world get in, choke us because our heart has a lot of thorns in there because we desire the world and we want it, we're not going to have fruit in our lives and be led where the Lord wants us to and mature us and grow us and be just be blessed. Our heart has become a little bit calloused. Deceitfulness of riches. Now, who falls into those things? Deceitfulness of riches. There are many of believers with beautiful voices and talent who have fallen that way. One is black hair lady, blue eyes, singer. Who is it? Katy Perry. Her parents were ministers, if I got that right. She was a Christian. But the deceitfulness of this world choked the life out of her. And now she's in a state of depression, demonic influence. And she says that. Watch her interview. Something overcomes her. This deep darkness that she cannot understand where it's from. And she gets really depressed, wants to kill herself, and she don't know what to do. You're in the power of the enemy when you fall away from the truth of Christ. Beyonce is another one. She has her alternate ego, Sasha Fierce, who once grew up in the church and now is part of the Illuminati, which is not a mystery to anyone. So she says she don't like what she does when she goes up there, you know, moving her body half naked and all that. So she developed this alter ego. In essence, she developed a demon to come into her to take over so she can do the things that she would normally not want to do. Deceitfulness of riches. And entertainers as well. I think about Billy Ray Cyrus, who said he followed the Lord. And he went into the deceitfulness of riches. Started off innocently, but what happened? Look what happened to his daughter. It's a shame, poor girl. It's really sad. And I think of Tyler Perry. Anyone know Tyler Perry? Yes, Medea. When you look at how he started off following the Lord, and he dressed up like a woman to mimic his grandmother who raised him because she taught him the Lord. And he was reaching out to the community, his community. He preached the gospel through that. And he did it a lot. He followed. He didn't have any money. He was living in his car. He was doing what he could until one day he said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm struggling. I don't have any money. I'm sleeping in my car. I just can't do this anymore. I don't have anything. Don't have a life. Don't have friends. I don't have nothing. And you need to do something. I can't take it anymore. I thought you wanted me to do this. Do something. Then the Lord told him, look out the window. Looks out the window, there's a lion around the corner to come in to his play. And he was blessed. And as time went on, he became more blessed. And deceitfulness of riches came into his life. Where one time he said, I will not even want to have a girlfriend or be around a woman because I'm waiting for her. To the point where he's having simulated sex scenes in his movies. Kissing women and pretending to have sex with them that are not his. And he's Oprah's best buddy now. And this is sad. A man of God led away by the deceitfulness of riches. Women, men, all these stars. And you guys probably got someone in your mind that you're thinking of. And it's funny, in one of my backsliding times, I had a little bit of the deceitfulness of riches. Now, when you work in the entertainment or food and beverage or whatever, I was working it. Working at places, I got to know all the entertainers. I got to know the entertainers because back then everyone came to the Hard Rock and everyone looked at us as stars, and I've said that a little bit. We're just working in the Hard Rock. Everyone wanted to hang around us. So here you got the entertainers, the strippers, all of these people, and I and my friend knew them all. We'd hang out with them and they would say, come on, hang out with us. We'll get you in VIP, this and that. We'll pay whatever. We went. Sure. I was backslidden at this time. This was one of my many burns in my back. So we knew all these people. And you feel the deceitfulness slipping away. You're making money. You're hanging out with all these people. You get into any way you want because everyone knew us. We don't stand in lines. We're the stars. Simple workers in a restaurant go into all these clubs and these shows. We get tickets and everything, and they see us. Oh, hey, my friend's name was Sean. Dave, Sean, come on. What's up, man? All right, to get in. Then you feel cool. Sit over here. Sit over here. Entertainers are coming down to say hi to you. Deceitfulness. You feel great. But what happens when I go home after that? 8, 9, 10, 11 in the morning. I go and look in the mirror and feel sad and empty. The deceitfulness of riches in the world left me empty. The Bible says sin has its pleasure, but what does it bring? Death. It brings death in your flesh, your spirit, your mind. But I thank God again that he never left me because he knew my issues. He thought I could never go back to salvation. I committed the unpardonable sin. But it was empty. I was empty. And a lot of these people are empty. And they believe that if they get their fire insurance, all I need to do is accept Jesus and I can do what I want. Well, you have no fruit. And the Bible says what? Lord, we did all these things for you. I never knew you. Depart from me. And go with your dad, the devil. You never took the time to know me. You never bore any fruit. You never followed my ways. You were deceived. And who's the great deceiver? Satan is the great deceiver. He's still working on all these people. All of these believers. All of us. What is he? A roaring lion. He's seeking. That's right. And who's he seeking? Non-believers only? He's seeking us. Jesus, remember, is telling us we're blessed. And where do you stand in one of these things? So the deceitfulness of riches and cares of the world have choked the word of God and we produce no fruit. We're too busy doing our own thing. What makes us happy? Because we have fire insurance. I've accepted Jesus. What more do you want, Lord? Well, you could pick up your cross. A servant's not greater than his master. I washed feet. I forsook everything. You do me. Do like I do. Ain't I the example? But Lord, I don't understand. Why can't I have these things? And you see that coming into the church. You see it. Doesn't matter if it's a denomination or non-denominational. Because in essence, a non-denominational church can become a denomination. Because we have our certain ways of doing things and all that. So let's just say it like that. We have it. We're all the same. We're all part of a body. But little by little, the world creeps into the church. It does. Look at what the churches are allowing in right now. Instead of reaching out and being like Christ, talking to the people who, let's say, are in homosexual unions or in adulterous affair. And I want to understand, people are always like, homosexuality. Well, homosexual, adulterers, fornicators, blasphemers are all in the same boat. Consequences are different. Sin is sin. It's all the same. But instead of reaching out in love and pulling someone out of the fire, come on in. It's all right. Deceitfulness of the world allows all these things. And you have no fruit. And you become like the rest of the world. And the cares of the riches that we've seen that happens to people. So this is the person who just wants fire insurance, likes what they like, wants their ears to be tickled, go to mega churches, doesn't want to grow. And even in this time when we did become Christians, my friend and I, we still knew all these people. We took them to church with us. We took some entertainers, some male and female strippers with us and say, let's go. What is this Jesus thing? Because they were looking at us and saying, you guys are Christians? And we're like, yeah, why? Well, you guys are happy, joking. That's another deception, that you can't be happy and joyous as a Christian. You know what I'm saying? I think we're pretty happy. We're joyous, right? Deceitfulness also of the world tells you that you have to have a closed mind and be very religious. And how difficult it is when you close your mind, it's not open. You get deceived as well. So with that, we go into the last example. And I'm pretty sure that all of us want to be this last one. And praise God, if we're here, we're working towards that. So Jesus gives this final seed of the heart or the mind, the word. He says in verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. That is fantastic. Wow, that sounds great. And we all want that, right? But what do you got to do to get to this point? You got to mark in your Bible, understand it. Yes, you received the word, but every one of these people received the word. What are you doing with the word? Are you understanding it and applying it to your life? Are you walking in what you've received, what the Holy Spirit has told you? It's not easy, but we want this. And of course, our spirit and our flesh war against each other. But we have to what? Have an open heart. And we can become very closed-minded in our ways. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to train us, to open our minds to things that we may not have thought possible, because we don't want to understand. We're set in our ways. Christians can get very set in their ways. And we can start accusing people or looking at another believer and you're not doing it right. And we're not listening to what the Word says. And you see that. You see it throughout all the Christians. People says this, another person says that. And there's no agreement. We're not coming together, but yet we're rivals like sports teams. And it happens because our minds can become closed. We no longer give way to the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's interesting because when I'm teaching from this, you know, usually I have my computer here. I go through it all. And I said, Lord, I just want to do this. He's like, okay, do it then. No way. That's too much, man. I need a script. What am I going to do? The Lord said, you know what, Dave? You asked, so do it. I can't. Well, I dared to trust the Lord and give way to the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, you're taking over, and I want to see what you can do. And what, you got something on? I don't know. Praise God. At least I got up here and said something. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving the opportunity to let the Lord do what he wants with me. And that's it. If you have a closed mind, you won't do that. You won't understand that it's more. The Christian walk is more than we think in the Bible. And you have separations and everything. But we want the fruit. We want to bear fruit. And we want to understand. And you know, when I was looking at the Bible when I was in my 20s, I went to the part, I think it was James again, and it says in there, whoever lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives liberally to all without any bias. And understand when he says wisdom, that word encompasses everything that has to do with knowledge, discernment, understanding, application in all things, Christ and goodness. Even in, let's say, the things of the world. I need to pass this test. I need to do this, Lord. Do we not go to Him and say, Lord, I lack wisdom. I need help. Me, being a gypsy. And I don't know if you guys know there's not. First service is like, what do you mean you're a gypsy? We are called Rom or Roma. It's difficult. It's like saying I'm an Italian. Oh, you come from Italy. We don't have a country, so I'm a gypsy, I'm saying. And in the gypsy way, fifth grade is the highest that we would go. Fifth grade education, that's it. Now imagine growing up in that culture and all of a sudden a technology boom comes in. The old ways are passing and here comes something new. People have to be educated in order to follow technology. So many people are being left behind. So here's a guy who was never trained, going up in the Lord, not understanding things. God comes into my life because He's merciful and wonderful. Well, I don't understand anything, Lord. I can't even understand Your word. And then He led me to James. Whoever lacks wisdom. Jesus, I more than lack. I have none. I need to give me everything that You want to give me. You say liberally, then I want You to be that way. You pour out everything You can. Give me a double portion of Your Spirit, because Your word says so. And now I'm holding You accountable to Your word. That's pretty bold, but hey, God's like, all right, You got it. He wants to bless us. He just blessed us right now, and He said, blessed are you. And can I say He's given me wisdom? Praise God, He has. He's taken me farther than I thought possible with no education. And I told this to someone, and it's nothing in me, nothing great in me. I didn't ever win anywhere. I started to study insurance, property and casualty, one of the most difficult tests ever to try to pass, fifth grade education. I passed it the first time. Only 10% of people who take that test pass it the first time. Did it go anywhere? No. I didn't do anything with it. The Lord was showing me, David, in your own power, you can do nothing. What does my word say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. All things are possible in me. But you need to ask, seek, and knock, like Pastor Tim always says. Otherwise, you won't understand. And you won't receive it. So if anything you take, you go to that scripture and say, Lord, You want to give me understanding. You want to give me wisdom. I lack. I don't know how to do things. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to walk. I don't know how to get a job. I don't know how to show love. I don't know how to get rid of anger. I don't know. And let me tell you, me and anger, boy, we're best buddies at times, and that's just wrong. I don't know how to get rid of this. I don't know how to let go of whatever it is in my life. I need Your wisdom. Okay, You got it. Give heed to my spirit. Cares of the world. But I don't want to. Cares of the world. Stop doing this. Try this. Get rid of that. Do what I tell you to do. Give way to me. It sort of goes in. For whatever reason, it seems like this message is a continuation of Wednesdays. Because I said, Paul was saying, I dare you to grow. Even now, the Holy Spirit is, you want that? Well, you got to co-labor with me. You want to be this last one and understand? Then open your heart and mind and do not become boxed in. Don't keep a closed mind. Don't be religious. Be relational with me, because that's who I am. You got to suffer. You got to follow me. You got to be willing to change. You got to stop letting the cares of this world and the deceitfulnesses of riches and the business and things you want, let me do it. Let me tell you something. I didn't even realize how much it was in my life when I'm doing everything like this, because I don't want to do this. I don't want to read the word. But then you find yourself, as you're giving room to the Holy Spirit, you start enjoying it. And it leads you into His truth. So we all want to be the fourth person. We want the seat of our heart to be open. But it takes work. It takes a co-laboring of the Spirit. Endurance. Discipline. We want to be disciples of Jesus. So we come to the end of that, of these would-be followers. And you'd have to ask yourself, where are you in this path? Jesus is talking to us. Jesus is talking to people. No matter where you are, no matter where you're going, the goal is fruit. And you've got to give away of yourself and let the Spirit come into you, in your life. So that is the thing. We open our hearts and minds to the Lord. We receive it. And we take the time to understand it. That's very key. We must have that. in our hearts. And then what happens? You produce fruit. You disciple others. You grow. You change. People see a genuine Christian, and they really want that. And they know, because it took hard work in the soil of your heart, and it changed, and you went forward. And you're able to mimic Christ, as Paul says. So take that away. Understand the word. Continue in your path. And do what you know to do in your life to get rid of things that are distracting you from the prize, the crown of life, pleasing Christ. Let's pray.